Welcome to Surge Up. This is Dave Davidson, and I'm honored beyond all measure to have none other than Dr. Dan Davidson of Anchor Talk. Happens to be my brother. Dan, are you done wrestling with that big life-size paper bag we were talking about earlier?
Yes, I am, Dave. Hey, it's great to be on your podcast here, and I'm excited to actually ask you about a new idea you had earlier today. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, we've been talking while I was at a baseball game, redeeming the time. I think you were at the ballet, weren't you? And now we're going to just kind of crystallize our ideas on one of those ideas that when I was going to bed, two words came to my mind. I thought, what if I can't remember those in the morning? I disciplined myself enough, opened my phone up, get software out. I wrote down two words and went to bed. And then now we've talked about it and we're ready to flesh it out.
You know, that's a great point, Dave. They say that you should always, you know, have a notepad or something to write down words that come to you at night. Of course, you have your phone, too. So good job for you. So, Dave, tell us the first word that came to you.
The first word that came to me was the word catapult.
Love the word. You know, I get this immediate visual image of just kind of a thing from the medieval times, just like launching stones or something towards a castle or something. Catapult is a great mechanical tool that was Greek and Roman times. And, you know, the simplest version of it that we can relate to is just a simple slingshot. I mean, you pull it back, you load it, and you really, you know, hurl it and project it out, propel something with a lot of speed.
Yeah, the fundamental concept is whatever's on that catapult, whatever's loaded on it, it gets to a place very farther than it started very fast. You know, there's Renaissance fairs now that have kind of like, they have chunkin' punkin' contest. But back in the days, it was a weapon of warfare that really, I mean, here I'm about to say the word catapult as a verb again, Dan. I mean, can you imagine when the catapult was first invented and then really mastered? Whatever battle that was, the guys on the other side, they were probably in for quite a defeat and a world of hurt.
Yes, and actually I was reading about the history of catapult, and it was first tied, I think, in the first or second century AD, tied to crossbows and kind of slinging arrows faster. And
okay.
That was modified in the Middle Ages, you know, to attack a fortress or a castle. And, you know, you had stones and different, you know, maybe a cannon piece or ball, you know, to destroy something. And then in modern days, it's used to catapult or launch an aircraft, like off a, you know, destroyer. So
off of an aircraft carrier.
Right. Exactly. Right.
That's good. So Dan, a catapult is the action. And so picture an idea, or maybe if you're a salesperson, it's like the big sale is loaded on that catapult. Or if you're trying to break into acting, it's that opportunity, right? It's your big break. If it's a proposal to the woman you love, it might be the engagement process, okay? That, you know, I know, Dan, that when I met my wife, who became my wife, we had a misunderstanding right in the first few days that we knew each other. And you know what? Talking about that misunderstanding catapulted us into kind of a serious demeanor. If we wouldn't have had a misunderstanding, we might have taken weeks and months to kind of get to the area of seriously thinking about spending time with each other. I'll save that story for now. But, you know, anything can be a catapult if it launches you a lot farther than you could have with your own routine, okay? And so we are talking about – I was at the baseball game. It's like, you know, the goal of baseball is to score a run. And you can do that by getting a guy on first base – after two outs and a long pitcher's duel and, you know, foul balls, you know, fouled off and guys picked off at first, or attempted to be picked off rather, and then ultimately after maybe a bunt and a steal and an overflow or a stolen base, you might get a run. You know, it might be a process of teamwork, and that can maybe signify maybe a routine day or a whole work day or a whole work year trying to get a sale. But then there's what the Cubs did this year, Dan. Walk us through who and what happened on that first pitch of the season, 2018, when they opened their regular season opener.
Ian Happ, the first pitch of the 2018 season. Home run, baby. That's the ultimate sports catapult over the fence. Launch angle.
So on what happened in one swing takes many teams, you know, 30 pitches, several batters, several outs, or a few outs, to get that run. So you got the same result in one swing. And that swing mixed with, you know, the dynamic of the ball coming in a certain way, the rotation of the hip of the batter, the wrist, the years of training, keeping your eye on the ball. That is actually, Dan, the second word. I don't know if we're ready to say it yet, but maybe it's a good time, because the two words together create a dynamic. We can hold our thunder.
Yeah, hold,
I'm just
hold
foreshadowing.
Let's stay on catapult, because I want to share an idea that came when you were talking, and that is when you said something about an opportunity. And Dave, I know one of your favorite quotes is make it essential to pursue potential. So when you have something.
Who wrote that?
Cyrano de Bergerac wrote that, yes. And so when you have something that's loaded, like a spring, like something that's spring loaded, or when you pull back, you know, a slingshot or a catapult that's loaded with weight and, you know, there's tension on a rope or something that's ready to launch this. Okay. It's potential energy. So just think about that. Let's soak that in. If we identify, look for, create, and even collaborate with others to create potential, that's so important. It's essential. As the quote says, make it essential to pursue potential. And that's what opportunity is. It's that potential. So a catapult, it's sitting there, and when we load it, it has potential energy.
Yeah, and Dan, one of my favorite quotes, thanks for quoting Cyrano de Bergerac. It's a quote that we wrote together. But another quote I like, Dan, is ideas not coupled with action never become bigger than the brain cells they occupy. I believe it was George Bernard Shaw. We'll look that up later. And so there again lies that potential. And so if something doesn't, I almost said the secret word again, Dan, but we'll hold thunder. Something else needs to happen. You can't just have a loaded cannon. I mean, you can, and it's good to have things loaded. And so, for example, if you don't have a professional website saying your acting resume, or if you're a photographer, your, you know, destination wedding resume and your samples, you're not going to probably get that Hollywood break, you know, from an agent finding you if they saw you in a meme or a commercial, if they can't find you. So that's kind of like a website can be like a loaded cannon, okay, or an appearance on television. I'll just tell you right now that I didn't see this coming, but Roseanne Barr, her story has really inspired me. Of course, her comedy show made a comeback. It's been a number one rated show in television lately. And she got her big break by being on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson like 30 years ago. And she was just a housewife. Her agent got her on there. So she was just starting this comedy circuit. And Julio Iglesias, the singer, was also on the show, and he invited her to be part of his tour, and it ended up being 2 years. And she's like, what? You know, I got to go to like a PTA meeting next week. Like, she's a housewife. She rearranged her schedule, her housewife schedule. It was a game changer for her. She went on the road for 2 years, and then that led to a TV pilot named Roseanne. And so
that's awesome.
The opportunity was there. The cannon was loaded when she got on The Tonight Show. It was that tension and that spring, you know, the ropes that were tying it back were chopped. and she didn't even know that she was catapulted into her career. It took her that night to realize how far, like how hard the tension was pushing her out. And after 2 years, 3 years doing that, she started to not land, but kind of maybe come down to see like, oh my gosh. And then now years, decades later, she's made a rebound, if you will. She's bounced, you know? And so there was a lot that went into catapulting her career. And there's a lot that goes into making a big sale, which is what I was thinking about when I thought of the word catalyst last night.
Okay, you just revealed the second word. You kind of slipped it in there.
I didn't mean to.
The word catalyst.
You just said I didn't mean catalyst, to.
So, well, no problem.
I meant to say catapult. Right. Let's act like we said catapult. Let's act like I didn't say that yet. When I said the word catapult last night. But here's the thing. So I'm working on this big sale, okay? And it's a multiple unit sale that would be a game changer income for the commission, okay? I've been working on it for a year. And what I realized is, just like a baseball game, maybe getting that manufacturing that one run, sending several, you know, you can have three guys left on base. You can have two guys out, right? So five people can come. The sixth batter could come up to an inning and still not, have not scored, right? So this could take 2 years, or something could catapult the runs in one swing. And that's what I was starting to recognize. What could change that? And yes, now I'm going to say it, Dan. What could be the catalyst to catapult this sale that I've been working on? Well, it might be meeting another person in the company, and that person gets me to the CEO and gets the decision for a sale. My friend just got a reality TV show. Whatever led up to that was the, you know, the kind of the leveraging point. Of course, he's been doing TV appearances for years and a strong YouTube showing, but there was somewhere in the fulcrum that he made a contact, and that was the, not the straw that broke the camel's back, right? It was the donkey. It was the piece of hay that tickled the donkey so hard he broke the door in. I don't know what to say there, but so we're looking for that catalyst, okay? Now I'll pause because I want to put the words together, but I'll pause because I can sense your host superpowers resonating here. So I'll pause.
Yeah, so your two words that you put together, Dave, are very powerful, catapult and catalyst. So it's catapult, catalyst, and they're very similar, but also synergistic. A catalyst is something like a chemical reaction, a compound that will initiate and accelerate rapid change, but not change the original compound. So, you know, we've all heard of a catalytic converter, like in an engine, it converts the fuel ratio and different things. So a catalyst is something that chemically, you know, in the lab, we see it, but also it can be a person, an event that can be a catalyst that changes our whole direction of our life. And, I mean, we could come up with lots of examples in biographies and people that maybe one life event or something that happened to them or, you know, just the way God directed their paths, something became a catalyst in their life. So two very powerful words, catapult, catalyst, you put them together, catapult, catalyst. Like you said, Dave, a catapult is their potential energy. And, you know, these, like in the lab, you can have potential energy, but until you have a catalyst that will initiate and then accelerate, it just remains potential. But that turns, a catalyst is something that turns that potential energy into active energy.
Yeah, Dan, in the early 80s, the CEO of Nike, was probably signing a number of rookie recruits as the top draft picks came into the NBA. I know that they had multiple, you know, signings to promote the brand Nike. But I know his name's Phil. It was his last name, Phil. the CEO of Nike has claimed that his greatest business decision was to sign Michael Jordan as a rookie with Nike. And then, of course, the Air Jordans came out, and the rest is history. That ended up being the catalyst for Nike to create a greater share in the market. And it ended up being a catalyst to catapult. I mean, Michael Jordan's career was already catapulting. But the fact that he had his own shoe. Now, I don't know. We'll have to check the record books. I don't know if any player had his own shoe named after him at the time. I remember kind of thinking that was pretty unique. So it may have happened, but it wasn't common to have a shoe named after an athlete. That was pretty interesting. And it was, and it catapulted both Nike and the Air Jordan brand into the stratosphere of literally hundreds of millions of dollars of gross sales and profits.
Absolutely. Great, great story. And I think we read the same story, Dave, that the other Reebok and Adidas, the other shoe companies at the time, had a policy that they only would sign taller players, like, you know, close to 7 foot or something. So Jordan wasn't as tall, and they just didn't even think about it. So I want to ask you, as far as catapult catalyst, here's the question. If the catalyst is what really unleashes the energy, so to speak, how do we find a catalyst? How do we become a catalyst? And how do we work with others to create a catalyst or to activate a catalyst?
Well, that's a great question, Dan. Just knowing that you need a catalyst is the first step. And, you know, Reebok and Adidas were looking for a catalyst, but they didn't think wow enough. Their failure to recognize, you know, young talent in a different paradigm, maybe a little bit shorter, was ended up being a catastrophe for them. So first you got to know that you need a catapult. Now you can maybe manufacture that run through base hits, but a home run is kind of a neat thing. Okay. And so, you know, your routine is going to get your results. And sometimes, you know, hitting batting practice and showing up to park every day, you're going to hit a home run sometimes. Okay. So the first thing is to recognize that you're looking for a catalyst to help catapult the situation. Okay. When Mariah Carey wanted to be discovered as a singer, she impersonated and got into a kind of a cocktail mixer type of situation with a friend. She was able to like be a temporary hire for a shindig, to where she slipped a demo tape to the Sony president, who later became her husband. Okay. She was looking to catapult her career, and she was the catalyst by meeting him in person. Now, what really happened was when he came down off that, wine mixer or whatever that was, this was back in cassette times, he was stuck in traffic shortly thereafter. And he's like, what the heck? He was bored. This is before cell phones. He popped the tape in. Okay. That tape now is the opportunity being sprung. Okay. It's either going to be a dud. It might kind of just bounce out and just hit some guys in the forerunner of the field there of the Renaissance Festival, or it might just soar and get up to the castle. We'll talk about castles and moats in a minute. But when he heard Mariah Carey's voice, he said, stop the car. He was probably in a limousine. Stop the car. They went and found her, and they signed her, I think, within a day or so. Okay. We'll check on that. So she was looking for a catapult, and she herself, by handing him that cassette demo, was the catalyst. Okay. So you're looking for that breakthrough. He's not going to discover you, right? If you're humming in your apartment or in your shower. So you had to bring it together. She knew she needed a catalyst to catapult her. You can't be catapulted without a catalyst. I mean, even a catapult that's sitting there, it's all wound up right, whether it's a button or the henchman hits the axe of the ropes and the ropes releases, you need that catalyst. You need the button. A gun needs a trigger, okay? A slingshot needs to be released. right? You need a
Yes.
trigger. And so I'll pause because I know we're going to be talking castles here soon and bigger goals. Well, I want to talk about the difference between a slingshot and a catapult.
Well, actually, a slingshot is a type of catapult based, you know, on my exhaustive research an hour ago on Wikipedia. And, bro, we have to mention the most famous biblical story about a slingshot, David and Goliath. I mean, you know, to think that just five smooth stones and his slingshot, you know, well placed in the forehead of Goliath, David slew the giant Goliath. So, you know, there's a lot of symbolism and inspiration in that story, certainly.
Yeah, the catapult and the catalyst in that story, they got to come together, okay? If there's no slingshot, you know, there's no victory, okay? Really, the catapult there was not having a big spear, not having a big armor, and sneaking one in right between the eyes of Goliath. And Dan, you know, that was a great victory, and so I don't want to confuse the analogy here, but, you know, a sail might be like a slingshot, you know, or a breakthrough, or maybe like a promotion in the job or whatever it is, an idea, or maybe you get a patent on something, or maybe you publish a book. Maybe that's more like a bow and arrow. But what I'm talking about, a catapult is a game changer, okay? Dan, tell us what you tell me about your patient friend that sold something and then bought land and a property. That was a game changer for him, a six-figure game changer.
Yeah, just a gentleman who had an office supply store and really was faithful and serving people with basic office supplies, including office furniture. And one contract ended up turning into you know, a huge sale with over 500 cubicles that were sold that then he on-site put together with a crew and basically bought him a house and land with one sale. So that's that long catapult. That's the tape measure home run. You know, that's, yeah, that's the big one.
But that's what we're talking about.
Right. And so, well, I mean, a catapult can be a small thing like a slingshot that's very precise, but it could be a huge, you know, like a home run. And when you hit a home run in baseball, we're mixing analogies here, but sometimes you have a solo home run, but what's the best? A grand slammer, baby.
Well, that just means the opportunity was bigger. There was more guys on base. And so the potential was bigger, but you still have to catapult it. Okay. I mean, and then the other thing is, Dan, we've all had the moment where we're a baseball fan and maybe the bases are loaded and a guy hits a long fly ball. And the announcer says something to the effect, it might be, it could be. And then the guy up at the warning track jumps a little bit, and it's just a few feet from the basket or over the fence, and it's a long out. Okay. Still catapulted, yeah. But something didn't connect for the whole breakthrough. Okay. So a catapult catalyst is you recognize that you need something to come alongside to make that reaction, okay, to make that chain reaction, to make that soaring ball go over the fence and get that grand slam, okay? It's not just a regular sale, okay? That's good, okay? That's part of the process. It's a grand slam. Guys got on base because of, like, regular things, base hits, walks, okay? It's a wow. It's your big idea. It's your big break. Okay. Now, Dan, I know that you and I became fans of the show, of the movie, The Greatest Showman. And we watched a small documentary about how that came to be. I mean, the first, it was a producer who watched the actor Hugh Jackman from award show with his top hat. He thought, you know, Hugh Jackman's a great showman. He's kind of like P.T. Barnum. Why not? Let's do a story on this. It took 6 years. They wrote it out. They had a artist, you know, build up the potential. You know, they ended up pitching this with singers, and they had it all sketched it out. Okay, a lot was riding on it to get that funding and to get everybody on the same page. Years of work, and it could have been a long fly ball. Okay, now I'll pause here and see if you want to add some to that story, but that's a catapult. Okay, that whole process of how they pitched that movie.
Yes.
Because it was a musical. Yeah.
Right. And so that they did hit a home run because it was picked up and then it was worked on for years. But as far as you're out, you know, in baseball, if you are a hitter who gets a hit only 30% of the time, you could probably end up in the Hall of Fame. In other words, you fail more than you succeed. And so you are always trying to get base hits. You're always trying to launch the ball. But you're not going to succeed and hit a home run every single time, okay, obviously. And so Babe Ruth led the league in home runs but also strikeouts. But if you don't even step into the batter's box, if you don't even come to the park, if you don't even take a swing, you're never going to catapult anything. So,
absolutely, you
got to keep swinging. You got to keep showing up, and you know, if you keep working at it, it's that one. You know, I think about the Kirk Gibson home run, bro, Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, he was injured. He was gimpy. He hadn't played. You know, Tommy Lasorda brought him out of the dugout, and he just with every might he could, he swung, and he hit that home run, which then turned the whole series. I think he, I can't.
Was his only at bat in the series?
Exactly right. So that was a magical moment. But you know, he was a seasoned ball player, and I mean, he's known for that one at bat. But sometimes everything in our life can lead up to one moment, one opportunity. And, you know, if you believe in God, I always like to think there are no coincidences, only divine appointments. So a lot of it is something that you can pray about and you can be diligent. And we want to be ready. The Bible even says be prepared in season and out of season. So, and we can have a peace about this. It's not something we have to necessarily force. So, you know, we kid, and we've heard this day before, that, you know, Willie Nelson was an overnight sensation. He was found after playing on the road and in bars in Nashville and everywhere for 30 years. So sometimes that catapult builds up momentum over decades, perhaps, and then you finally get your chance.
Well, that's a good – I love the Willie Nelson story, Dan, but just to differentiate, that was – more like getting runs in the hold hard way. He still scored the runs, fantastic career, and he's still, in fact, I was just talking to our Nashville friend Keone. He said one of the best concerts he's ever been to is Willie Nelson, some people. I mean, he's fantastic. But then you think of things like American Idol and America's Got Talent. Kelly Clarkson came on the stage of the first American Idol. She was catapulted to stardom because of her opportunity and her winning that contest. It's a very different road than Willie Nelson. So Willie Nelson is different. He was not catapulted. Okay. He was successful, but his success didn't come from a catapult. Okay. And so if you want the big sale quicker, like this big sale might take 2.5 years, but if you wanted one year and 2 months, you have to find the catapult in the scenario. So you have to recognize, like, what could it be? So the sale I'm working on right now, it's been the same thing, same type of correspondence. Now I've met someone else in the company. I'm like, man, this could be the catalyst to catapult me. And that's why I put the two words together, okay? Because the cannon is loaded. The proposal's been there. The numbers have been done. The right person needs to see it, and the right person needs to say yes. And now it's as if, now that I found a catalyst and maybe the right person to get me to the better person, it's like the wick. Or is it the wick? When you have a time bomb, is that the name of it? Is it a wick? That's not a wick. Is that the word? started, you know? Is that the right word?
Yes.
Wick? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure I had the right word.
No, the fuse.
The fuse is lit. Okay. Now, sometimes that fuse can be snubbed, or sometimes that wire of that bomb can be cut at the last second, like MacGyver with a paperclip and an avocado. Okay. But just to know you're going for the big league, swinging for the fence. Now, not every time you go for a sale, you can swing for the fence. Sometimes you got to just try to get the next runner in or just get on base or take a pitch. When the third base coach says, take a pitch. Okay. My son came up. He had three balls on him. He wanted to swing, but the fourth pitch was a ball. He shouldn't have swung at it. Okay. That wasn't his moment to try to catapult the team into a solo home run. So it's recognizing that you need a catalyst, recognizing when that moment is. Okay. If you're on Oprah, you know, and you can plug your book, and if you're part of her, you know, back in the day, if she plugged your book with the book club or you were on her show when her show was on, that would catapult you as an author or an expert in a field, okay? But you would have had to have written the book first. You don't want to go on Oprah saying, yeah, I'm going to work on a book. Here's the title. Blogs weren't even out mostly. Here's my P.O. box if you want more information. You got to be ready. You got to be locked and loaded. So the timing has got to be there. You don't go up to the batter's box with a stick or a souvenir bat. You got to have the right time. You know, Dan, we've talked about this in relationships for marriage. Right person, right time, right reason. And yes, I love what you said about coincidences. God's bringing things together. But you need to be making those three things fit. You need to be working hard enough to get the opportunity to have the at-bat, right? To be on The Tonight Show, to be Roseanne Barr, to have that opportunity, right? You're not going to be noticed singing in the shower, okay? You're going to be noticed if you enter a contest like American Idol and work hard, okay? You're also going to succeed if you're like Willie Nelson after 30 years, but Kris Kristofferson, he wanted to be noticed, and he sent a helicopter to a producer's backyard, you know, lavish backyard, and either came down himself or dropped a package and said, look, I won't bother you again. Here's my demo, and the rest is history. He got his big break because he helicoptered in someone's backyard. That was the catalyst that catapulted his career.
Okay, so coming back to the baseball analogy, let's say you get an opportunity to play in a big league game, and you're in the batter's box. But let's say, number one, you never swing, or number two, every single pitch that comes to you, you try to bunt it. Well, you're never going to hit a home run. You might as well give it a good swing, bro. And, you know, the law of averages, I see when any player in the major league comes to bat with the bases loaded, it's such a unique thing. They always flash up. Okay, this player's been playing for 5 years, and he's come to bat, you know, 52 times already with the bases loaded. And his average is this, and he's hit this many grand slams. And so, you know, yeah, when the bases are loaded, especially, you don't want to bunt. You want to swing for the fences. So, Dave, I like what you're saying about some of your own personal sales. Why not think big? Why not, you know, propose things that you've never proposed at a certain level? Okay, there's a time to be conservative, a time to just do the basics, but then there's a time to swing for the fences.
Yes. And Dan, I think of the movie that Will Smith starred in, and it was a story of about a man's life. It was called The Pursuit of Happiness. And the movie, from him having to fail at selling this gizmo at the time of like a kind of printer or something or whatever it was, he finally got a job. He was homeless with his son. It was a scanner. Okay.
Machine.
He finally got an interview. Now, he came up there kind of like Kurt Gibson. He had a very dirty shirt, okay, because he had been in some scuffle. He'd been in homeless. He came in there dirty. And the guys were like, man, they weren't giving him the time of day. It's like, we're going to give you one chance. Like, what makes you think you can come up here and tell us that we need you with a shirt like that? He goes, what would you say? And he made a joke. He risked it all, at least in the movie version. He's like, well, You might have to say that the guy had some really nice pants on, and they laughed at him, and he broke the ice. They're like, okay, well, let's get to know this guy. He obviously had some kind of situation with his shirt. Let's give him a chance. Well, he got the job. Okay, he became wealthy. That was his moment. He cracked a joke about his pants being clean, which is amazing. Now, how it went down in real life, who knows? But probably something like that. Okay, and so he recognized. You could just see that character. Recognize his opportunity, and he even risked it to break the ice to convey his value, because he still was the person, whether he had a clean shirt on or not, that they were going to hire. Okay, and we've all seen these movies where someone has a job interview, and we can relate to it because we've mostly been in job interviews. Okay, and there's a time and a place in a job interview where you get the job, you don't even know it, or you lose the job. Okay. And that's the catapult, and that's the catalyst. They're synergistic. So we're looking for the catalyst. We're trying to identify one. We know that we need one if we want to be catapulted. Sometimes the opportunity is not there. Sometimes it is. Okay. Sometimes it takes 30 years, and it's not really a catapult. Sometimes opportunity comes. So when the opportunity comes, you need to be ready, and you need to pull the trigger at the right time. In Star Wars, the first episode, I mean, the third one, but really the first movie, Luke Skywalker went around the Death Star and he had to shoot his phaser gun using the Force at the right time. He had one shot, okay, that catapulted his team, I don't even know what it was called, the Allegiance of something, to kill the Death Star. Now, Dan, let's talk about castles, moats, princesses, and drawbridges. How are catapults fitting into this analogy? Because we want to widen the way we see this. We've seen the princess movies.
Yeah, so I will. You can add any analogy to mine. We already talked about David and Goliath. David used the catapult, a slingshot, as a weapon, and that's the way it was used a lot in the Middle Ages and medieval times. And so I think a good analogy, and you know, they were used to try to destroy, you know, forts and castles and fortresses. And so in real life today, I think we could use this as an analogy. Maybe you have a castle of fear or doubt or regret, and you need to literally take a catapult with loaded rocks and stone and try to destroy that castle of fear. Okay, it's warfare, and it's become so large and it's so protected and you can't defeat it. Sometimes you need to really load up and just fight against it. Okay, to have that you know, potential negative in your life broken down. So I think a catapult can be used in a positive way. We're talking about hitting home runs and going the farthest and even launching something like an aircraft or even a rocket boost to get us into orbit. But it can also be used in warfare to literally cut down and destroy things that are getting in the way of our dreams, obstacles, excuses, like I said, and things like fear and doubt as well.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, somewhere in there to get to a castle, okay, to try to go over that drawbridge, the drawbridge is up. Someone invented some kind of, you know, you see it on these movies with Tom Cruise and they go, you know, they hit it up, they catapult this rope with a claw, okay, and it then tightens up to something on a roof and you can climb up, right? Somewhere in the Middle Ages that was invented and people started climbing up castles or walls. And they had ladders. And then, Dan, I just want to throw this in just to visualize this. Somebody thought, you know what? What if we dumped burning hot oil on the people coming up, okay? Sometimes your catapult can just get knocked in the face, right? And so that was like a counterattack. I mean, just barbaric means. But basically, the scenario goes, you want to get to that princess. The princess is distressed. She's being abused by the bad uncle or something. You need to save the princess. You need to catapult up there and save the day. And then I think of basketball, you try to get in the paint. You got to try to get in the lane, okay, which is the, if you don't know, it's a rectangle right in front of the basket. And most points are scored right there. But something happened to the game of basketball in the last couple decades where we had the three-point shot, which is really kind of like a way to catapult the score. You don't have to charge a lane, okay? And now you can get 3 points, an extra bonus point, by shooting it 30 feet farther than a layup, okay? So that happened for a couple decades. And then just a couple seasons ago, it's like, hey, the most three-pointers were this certain figure, you know? And then a guy named Stephen Curry came along and said, you know what? I'm going to shatter this record, and I'm going to actually get 100 three-pointers in a season. In fact, the next season, I'm going to get twice as more than anyone else before me. Somewhere in there, a catalyst happened, and he really learned how to shoot threes, okay? Because there's a lot of great pro players who knew how to shoot threes, and they'd get a few a game, okay? Steph Curry changed basketball forever. Instant Hall of Famer, okay? Something happened, and he raised the level of the game. He leagued up, okay? And he added the catalyst to a catapult, okay? And he's the best three-point shooter in the history of the NBA. And as we speak, he was in a game tonight. Dan, what do you think about that?
Hey, a catapult. Yeah, the way they're shooting threes, actually, the Houston Rockets, the first time in the regular season in the history of the NBA, they actually shot more three-point shots than regular shots.
So tonight?
This season.
The season.
Oh. Yes, in the regular season, the Houston Rockets, for the first time ever, had more three-point attempts than regular.
Attempts, right. That is fascinating beyond everything. Wow.
Yeah, so they have more of a catapult strategy now, if you want to put it that way. So
and Dan, you know, I don't know why, but this, you know, this the story of Apple, you know, the whole competition between Microsoft and Apple, different products catapulted different companies. And so we're looking for that catapult. One of the main messages of this message, of this book, of this podcast, is to look to just identify what would catapult you into that next league. They have the resources you wanted to do to take your company farther, take the vacation you want, to pay your mortgage off. Okay, it might be a sale. It might be a deal. You know, I told you about this guy. He's got a commercial on the internet on Instagram. I don't even know what he's selling for a seminar because I just was inspired by the first thing he said. Long story short, he just asked some multimillionaires what they needed. One guy said he needed some watches. And he got a price, he got a quote from another part of the world, and he negotiated this price of this long list of inventory, and his price negotiated, he ended up profiting $2 million from this large $7 million transaction of watches, because he was looking for a catapult, and his catalyst was his own attitude and his own approach of saying, what can I do for people who have money? Just what do you need? And then he solved the problem. And so that's inspiring because, you know, if you're a wedding photographer, you have to do your 30 or 20 or 40 weddings to make a living. But if you do the royal wedding, well, you'll get paid more for that than a couple years worth of shooting weddings, say. So we're looking for the catapult for sales, for relationships, for opportunity, for careers, for innovation.
Well said, Dave. Hey, great, powerful words, and it's inspiring. Yes, everyone has potential. Everyone has potential energy. There is unprecedented opportunity in the new digital age, and so there's actually more possibility for people to be catapulted because of technology and communication. It's a smaller world, and so it's a matter of using that leverage of technology and publishing and connection and being ready and never giving up and just keep working and keep loading it, and then you know, looking for that catalyst at the right time to harness that.
Yeah, and whether it's Willie Nelson or American Idol, you can succeed. I'm just looking. It's not really a shortcut, by the way, because it's a hard go, but it is a fast track on the hard work you're already doing. Okay, no one that gets catapulted for the right reasons. I mean, every now and then you got an idiot being famous for 15 seconds for the wrong reasons. Okay, I could go through multiple examples right now, but we'll keep that short. But that doesn't stay. That's fake news. Okay, the real heroes out there are the real people with talent, and when they're discovered, it's like, wow, there's layers here. Okay, I remember seeing a pianist and a songwriter on Oprah 15 years ago. We're just flipping channels. I'm like, Alicia Keys. I'm like, Joan, that girl's on Oprah. She's got the talent. She is going to be, she's never going away. She's going to be part of entertainment for the rest of her life. I called it. I mean, a lot of people have been on a show. Doesn't mean that they're going to be a household name, but Alicia Keys was, the day she was on Oprah, she was catapulted. Okay. And her talent, when she landed, which is going to be another part of this message we'll get to another time, when you land from your catapult, like your Roseanne, and you finally, you know, you're off your tour from Julio Iglesias, then you leverage it. When you get up to the terrace where the princess is, you don't go shy and crawl back down. You land the kiss and you defeat the dragon, right? So it's a fun way to look at things. If you want to fast track a sale or get going with your career and make that breakthrough. And Dan, I'll just say this last thing. Two words, Shark Tank. Every contestant or every client or every person who comes up there, they are looking for a catapult. And their pitch to the sharks, the way the sharks respond to it and the way they answer their questions is the catalyst. If that's the simplest way to put it, we've come this far to just lay it out that simple for another example of a catapult catalyst.
Awesome job, Dave. Love the concept. Looking forward to applying it in my own life.
We already are. Wouldn't it be great if the book and the message catapult catalyst was the catapult catalyst for our book career? We have 100 books out there. We're locked and loaded, baby. And we want to teach, inspire, motivate, encourage people, train, influence, mentor, and equip people. For Dan and Dave with Surge Up and Anchor Talk on the Anchor Talk podcast, we are brothers, and we are here to inspire you with our own thoughts and glorify God with our lives as we provide for our families and just try to live a life God is calling us while we have time. Take care. God bless. Rock on and surge up.
Rock on. Surge up.